Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Gross Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels, it's time for the Green Country Gardener.
Good morning, and we are live out here at the Interstate Farm and Home Show, and we've got Fred here from Bartlett Co-op, our presenting sponsor, and congratulations, you've been out here all 4 years.
Yes, sir, thank you, and thanks for having us, Tom.
And when we think of a co-op, I think of grain elevators, but it's probably a little bit more than that, right?
It is. We're a very diverse co-op. We have five grain elevators, but we also have a light manufacturing. We manufacture gates, panels, continuous fence. We even build some hydraulic spike beds, and we sell and repair bale beds, hay beds, stock trailers, flatbed trailers, utility trailers, fertilizers, chemicals, fuels, seed, the whole gamut of it.
Now, Fred, when you said diversified, you weren't kidding.
No, sir, not at all.
Now, Bartlett Co-op, how long have you been around?
Bartlett Co-op has been around since 1950, originated in Bartlett, Kansas.
All righty. So you have locations, like seven or eight locations here in the area.
We do. We have seven locations. We occupy LeBette County with Chautauqua, Oswego, Bartlett, Mound Valley, Edna, and then we have the Coffeyville location here in Montgomery County, and then we have Big Cabin, Oklahoma, in Craig County.
Very good. So you guys get around. You know a lot of neighbors, don't you?
We do have a lot of neighbors and friends, yes.
Well, I guess a co-op pretty much says it all, because without your friends and neighbors, you don't have a whole lot of cooperation.
That is right. And we are a true co-op in the fashion that we are owned by our patrons. Our patrons are the owners of the co-op.
And that's an interesting business model, but I tell you what, it's something that a lot of farmers and ranchers are used to, and they prefer it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they do.
And once again, with Bartlett and all your different locations, you're there to serve a variety of different needs. We went over all of the different things that you cover. So it seems like you're kind of the one go-to place. You're the one stop.
We try to be, and if we don't have it, we'll certainly, if we can't find it, we'll at least let you know where to get it.
All right, great. And you're right here as you walk in the door. You're one of the first businesses folks are going to see when you come into Nellis Hall. And, Fred, is there anything else you'd like to tell the folks about Bartlett that we didn't cover?
No, I think that's about it. Just come out and see us, and let's have a visit.
All right, Fred. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having us, Tom.
All righty. Larry Glass is here with us, and it's time for the Green Country Gardener Show. And thank you, Fred. Appreciate it, as always. He's our presenting sponsor here with the Interstate Farm and Home Show. Larry Glass, the Green Country Gardener himself.
Tom, good morning.
He's in the house.
In the house. Hey, God, what a house. What a show. I love this.
Two great big showrooms out here.
We got a beautiful day. Great weather.
No, that's a nice drive from Bartlesville. That's a nice drive.
It's a nice drive, yeah, if you don't get behind some traffic, but it's a good.
Oh, you were seen with the back end of a semi, from what I understand.
Well, that's like a train going down the road at 45 miles an hour. Anyway,
we want to let everybody know that we're not going to be taking any telephone calls, but if you come here to the show and ask a question, we'll be able to take care of you that way. And if you got a question, and if you do call in, they'll text it to us, but we'll do the best we can here, okay, because we are on location. What do you got for us today, my friend?
Oh, golly, we got to talk about things we have to do in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
This time of year.
Or is it going to take the power tools that Kevin's used to playing with?
Kevin, you ought to be able to get you some nuclear-powered or diesel-powered hedge clippers in here.
Huh? I tell you what, they got more stuff in here, and there's a fencing lady in here that she's got some clips for those T-posts, you know?
Oh, yeah?
They are different. So, you know, anytime you got to fix fence, repair it.
Right.
You got to take all the clips off so you can stretch the wires and do all that. Then you got to go back and do it all. She's got a clip that goes on the T-post, and the wire slides through the clip.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
I know.
Except when you're staking up a tree, I guess.
Well, I understand. I'm just thinking about that barbed wire fence around that place.
Yeah.
Keep the cows in.
And speaking of staking up trees, if you're going to plant a tree with 30-mile-an-hour winds like it is, it's always a good idea to stake them up.
I thought, I thought you told me the best thing to do is a tree needs to move around some because it roots it in better.
Yeah, but when you first plant it. Oh, golly, we planted a whole row of trees before and have to come back to straighten them all up.
They leaned all really, to the north.
That rule doesn't apply to Oklahoma.
It gets a little windy in Kansas. We're getting
in Kansas.
When the wind comes rolling down the plain, your trees are all horizontal.
You know, we're getting to the windy time of our year.
So, actually, you need to stake them for about a year. And after that, the roots are established well enough to where it will hold itself up.
I thought you wanted to move.
And then when the winds come around, that's when it is tempered. Okay. But when you first plant something like that, it's very critical that you don't get it to where you have all your trees leaning to the north.
To the north. They all lean to the north. To the northeast, really. Yeah.
But yeah, so staking is kind of important. And it's a good time to get some trees. We've been selling some trees at the nursery. We got some new stuff in, too. We got our shipment in from Oregon.
Oregon?
Oregon. Yeah, that's where we get some interesting specimen kind of plants. Some different colors.
Are they legal?
Down here?
Actually, they do.
Because this hot weather we get, they don't get that hot weather.
No, they don't. But they are adaptable, and we only get the ones that are adaptable, if you will, to our climate.
Okay.
So, and we can kind of clue you in as to how to plant these, how to properly plant them, how to get them to transition to the Oklahoma climate.
Now, if we
have a summer like we had last summer, it never did hit 100.
We don't need that.
So much rain, maybe. Maybe.
If we could moderate the rain a little bit, just moderate.
Yeah. Well, Charlie's not here to affect the weather.
No, we got Tom, so maybe we'll get a better weather.
You can sure tell he was gone all summer because it rained all summer.
Maybe Tom will get our...
I'll put in a good word.
Okay. This guy makes it rain so much.
I know it. He used to blame Charlie for the weather, so now he can start blaming Tom for the weather.
Let up on the gas.
Hey, man, we just reported. I don't make it, man.
It only rained when Charlie
killing
was
me, Kevin.
He always does that. So anyway, but we're going to have a great day up here at the we have our farm and home show. We have two halls that are completely full. We got outdoor displays, Larry. We got toys. We got lots of toys
up
here.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Larry, there's toys up here that you'll enjoy. And so we'd love to have you come up and see us, whether you're in Bartlesville or Oshelato or Nowata, wherever you might be, Pawhuska. And come on up here and see us. But if you're right here in southeast Kansas, just pop on in. We're going to give away $500 cash today. Draw for that. We had one yesterday, and if you were here yesterday and want to come back again and put your name back in, that's fine, too. But there's everything here. You can even learn how to fly here.
Oh, I saw that fella, the avionics fella back over there.
Really? Yeah, that'd be fun.
He's going to have a simulator here today, so. Come on. Don't crash, Larry. Don't crash.
I wasn't going to say it. Almost said it.
I know. So, anyway, we've got a good day. It's going to be a beautiful day today. And I see the mayor of Dewey just walked in, Tom Hayes.
Hey.
And he's got a booth here for his Hayes tent and awning. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, we've got him coming in. He's the mayor of Dewey up there and doing a fine job, I might add, up there. So, anyway.
Excellent show, Kevin. I know it takes a lot of work to get one of these going.
There he is, and, Mayor Dewey.
Hey,
right there.
Hey, Tom, how are you? Doing great.
Anyway, thank you.
It takes a lot of planning and a lot of work to get
it. It does, but I got to tell you, our sales staff has worked very hard. Tina Romine, our promotions director. I got tongue twisted, Tom.
You don't say.
Don't you love it? You love radio, don't you? Yeah.
Anyway, Tina, she did a great job getting this thing organized and set up, and making sure all the vendors, when they came in, they had a packet there. So when you come in here, you're going to see it's pretty well, looks like it's doing. And so, but I do have to tell you something, Larry.
Yeah.
Larry.
Yeah, Kevin.
You're from, aren't you kind of from the South?
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
Well, actually, all over the country, we moved all over the place. So
well,
several cultures.
There's a gumbo person out here.
Gumbo.
That's making gumbo, and I
that's
had some
smell
gumbo.
Is.
I had good. Some gumbo yesterday. Oh my gosh, it was delicious. I had a big old thing of gumbo, and it was sausage, chicken, and shrimp all in my gumbo.
Oh, Kevin here's on the last belt loop.
The gumbo's not healthy. Is that what you're saying?
No, it'll cure what ails you. Trust me, I've been there.
So good.
just wait a little while.
It was so good. It was. So anyway, and we have air gas that's here today. It's right across from us, Tom.
Yep.
And any kind of welding supplies, they've got a special on DeWalt tools here, 20-volt tools, that is. It's kind of a whole packet of stuff here that you can, can buy. So you like toys, don't you, Larry?
Yeah, you know, I need to learn how to weld. I've never welded anything. Do you know how to do that?
I'm stick and dauber. That's what I am. I can stick and daub. Stick and daub. I have a welder at home, but...
Okay.
But they make welders that are much easier. Instead of a stick welder, get one of those wire welders, and you can do all that.
So, yeah.
That's what you need.
All righty.
Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
All righty, there you go. We're going to get some, we've got some questions coming in, and let's see what we can do here. We got a question from John and Parsons. Go ahead and play that, and we'll see if we can't record. We can't respond to it. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. Do I need to prune my azaleas, or can I prune my azaleas? Will it make them get bigger? That's my question.
All righty. Azaleas, can you prune them or not right now?
Azaleas, not right now. You want to prune them right after they bloom.
Prune after they bloom.
Exactly.
Because they're setting their blooms now.
They're setting their blooms. Their blooms have formed on the tips of the stem. They form in August.
Yes.
Yeah, they set their blooms in August, so you really want to prune them right after they bloom.
Pour coffee grounds around them right now.
A little gumbo, too, yeah.
Those coffee grounds, that adds acidic.
I know. It helps lower the pH, right?
Throw that.
Yeah, you want to fertilize them after they bloom, and you want to prune them after they bloom.
And you can put coffee grounds, or pine needles are really good.
Pine needles work. Pecan shells.
Pecan shells, yeah. If you can go to a pecan sheller sometime and just buy a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, that's the way to get it, really. Pecan shells do very good because they exude tannic acid.
Yeah.
Which helps maintain a low soil
pH. And the weeds won't grow around those things.
No, they don't.
They don't like that stuff.
Like that. Gotta work the dirt.
So, pecan shells, pine needles.
If you don't have access to all that, just some regular mulch and some azalea fertilizer will work just fine. Be sure when you fertilize them, it should be done about the time they are pruned. You want to fertilize them at that point also.
Okay.
Make sure just to put a little bit down. The azaleas have a very shallow root system. And it's very easy to burn the roots on them. So you apply it very lightly, 30 days apart, 3 applications.
All right, very
good.
Very
light application of fertilizer.
All right.
I've seen so many people just kill their, I don't have time. I'll just put it on all at once.
Right now.
Then they don't have any azaleas.
Yeah, so you can't dump on them.
And another thing, you always want to maintain a good layer of mulch on the surface of the ground because they are so shallow rooted that... soil zone that's real shallow tends to dry out faster.
And they like to be moist.
They like to be not wet, but moist.
Moist.
Yes.
Not wet feet.
No standing water.
No wet feet.
Exactly. They don't like wet feet.
They don't like wet feet.
You get itchy foot and stinky toe.
And I quit. I quit azaleas because I couldn't make them. I have one left. One. And it's one of the one that just keeps blooming all year.
Right, huh?
In the middle of the winter, it started blooming.
Well.
It just started blooming.
It sounds like you need to close the front door a little bit.
Look.
Letting all that hot air out.
Nah, the problem is, Larry, the natural gas prices are so cheap, just leave it open. Keep burning. Keep burning natural gas. That's what we need to do. Do not do like Jimmy Carter said. Turn it down, put a sweater on. Turn it up. Wear your shorts in the house in the winter.
Open your doors so your azaleas will bloom.
There we go. Guys, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener after this 2-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Did you know that Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants? Newly arrived is their shipment of trees and shrubs. Get an edge on spring with herbs and perennials from Green Thumb. Sow your grass seeds now with fescue seed in stock and stop crabgrass in its tracks with pre-emergent at Green Thumb. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. New hours open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4, close Sundays.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
All right. Good morning right now. It is 8:25. We got the time change coming up here, guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, J.R. Prather from Lucas Metalworks, he had a question. He wanted to know about his azaleas.
Right.
And he asked, he said, does the time change, does that affect the azaleas?
It does cause a considerable amount of stress on your plants.
Because
you want to make sure
they didn't get the rest they needed.
Put a blanket around them and water them, you know, reasonably well, maybe a little fertilizer.
No wet feet.
Tell them they're so beautiful and they'll do fine to make the transition to the time change.
Time change. Tonight's the night.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're not growing corn right now.
Actually, it's not tonight. You got to get up at 2 a.m. and change your clock.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm up this morning.
I'm a day early.
If you do it at 2 a.m., your plants won't know.
They won't know because they're asleep.
So they'll be just fine.
So that's what we got to do. Those azaleas, especially the azaleas.
All right. Do we have another question on board? I think we got Steve from Oshaleta. What's his question here?
I just got through planting Bermuda seeds. I want to know if I was too early or if it's time enough that it might grow.
All right. Is it too early for the Bermuda seed?
You bet. The Bermuda has to have warm temperatures for it to grow.
Okay.
About 60 degrees soil temp.
Yeah, 65 or so, yeah.
60.
And
the soil temp. Soil temp, not air.
You can put the seed down right now, but if we get a lot of rain, you'll be putting it'll just go down to the river. And it takes 10 to 15 days before you really see anything at all on your seed, on Bermuda seed. So it has to be warm. You have to give it a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep it fairly constantly moist. So you might put some straw on the ground to help conserve the moisture a little bit. Or just do it in an area where you can maintain the water at a given time.
So it doesn't roll on down, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Or maybe the best way, Larry, is to go down there to Enterprise and just buy some sod and just lay it down.
Actually, you can buy some sod and you can sprig it.
Yeah.
Sprigging is a viable way. You can buy 10% of the amount of grass that you need. Say if you need And that'll sprig it just fine. And in about a month, it'll fill in.
It'll take off.
If you do sprig, you want to be sure to give it some good fertilizer so it will grow and spread real well. So, the answer to the question is first to middle of May, depending on the weather.
Okay, so he got a little bit of a head start then.
If you put the sod down, you can put her down right now.
Oh, you put the sod down anytime, yeah. Anytime if it gets really cold on your sod, we've noticed when we install Bermuda sod in the wintertime, mm-hmm. you put it down, you're going to lose about 10% of it.
You will?
But it'll, by the first of June, it'll all be together. It'll spread out together just fine.
It's aggressive.
Yes.
It's very aggressive.
Very aggressive. Don't try to fertilize your Bermuda grass at this point in time. You're wasting your money.
Yep.
When it starts to grow, when it starts to send out runners, that's when it's time to go ahead and begin the fertilization program on the Bermuda grass.
You have to be patient.
And it'll really get aggressive.
You bet.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
It is 8:29. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Show, and we're live out here at the Interstate Farm and Home Show, and we are out here in Coffeyville, Kansas, on the campus of Coffeyville Community College, and we have Nellis Hall. Both big exhibit halls are filled to the brim with exhibitors. This is really nice, isn't it, Larry?
I know. I've not been through it all yet, but from what I've seen, it's a very good show.
Oh, this is something that you would see in the likes of a Wichita or a Tulsa,
yeah.
Maybe even in Oklahoma City. But the thing is, it's right here where you live. It's right here in the bi-state area. And we actually have folks in here from Missouri and Arkansas here. So it's kind of like a four-state yeah. deal going on here.
True.
And it's really nicely done. And here's the good thing. It's free to get in.
Well, I'm saying you better.
Might cost you to get out. No, it won't
you better
cost
get
you to
ready
get
for the price of admission.
And you could win $500. All right, we're going to come back with more of the show in just a moment after this 2-minute timeout.
When skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using color radar reports and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters and meteorologists on KOTV, the news on 6. Dedicated to keeping you and your family safe, keep a battery-operated radio close at hand. And when severe weather hits our area, go to a safe place and tune into K1, 1400 and FM 93.3 for all the details. Severe weather coverage is brought to you by Tate Boys Tire, Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Record Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rental, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance Service, Lucas Metalworks, Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern. Count on K1 for the area's most complete weather coverage.
Hi, this is Brian Ballard with Broman Chevrolet Buick in beautiful Independence, Kansas. We have a fantastic selection of new and used vehicles, including GM certified. Just head north and watch your prices go south at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas. At Broman Chevrolet Buick, you do not have to pay extra taxes. You only pay in Oklahoma where you live. We will treat you the way you want to be treated at Broman Chevrolet Buick in Independence, Kansas, where we're making car buying fun again. You can reach us at 620-331-4700 or 24/7 online at RomansGM.com.
Shop these bargains of the month at Peter's True Value in Dewey. If you're getting ready to paint, be sure to pick up painter's tape. Peter's has Scotch Blue multi-use painter's tape for $4.99 each for 1.41-inch by 60-yard roll. And reach those high-to-use areas, a step ladder may come in handy. Peter's has a 2-foot Louisville aluminum ladder for $29.99. For yard work, check out True Temper 6-cubic-foot wheelbarrow for $59.99. Shop these bargains of the month at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage in Dewey.
Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Green Country Gardener Program with our master gardener, Larry Glass, who never drives fast. And we're in Coffeyville, Kansas, at the campus of Coffeyville Community College for the Interstate Farm and Home Show. Admission is free. Doors are open right now. And you can visit with about 140 vendors. And, of course, stand a chance to win about $500 in cash and a whole lot more. What are we were talking grass.
Right, exactly. This is a very active time for fescue grass.
Fescue, okay.
Exactly. It's time to perhaps dethatch it a little bit if you've got a lot of dead grass in it. maybe get some of the old debris out of it, clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
And it's time to begin fertilizing it. I do believe we have precipitation coming up Sunday.
The Sunday night, yeah.
So you got all weekend to do the fertilization of the fescue grass.
Blame the rain on me.
And you want to use something like milorganite or 1688. I like to use a fertilizer with some iron in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the milorganite has a good about 4% iron in it. And some of the others we have some iron in it too. That gives you a better color on your grass also. pH, or as far as pH is concerned, the fescue likes kind of a neutral pH.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take a little bit of alkalinity, but if you get into the acidic type soil, it has a difficult time with it.
Oh, okay.
So if your grass is looking kind of punk and it just doesn't grow, perhaps you've got a pH issue and you might want to have your soil tested.
Yeah, indeed.
It takes a little while for the reaction to take place. Mm-hmm. You put the lime down, it doesn't happen right away. You have to give it a few weeks, up to a month, for the chemical reaction, whatever, to take place in the soil to raise that pH. Mm-hmm. So it's not instant.
So these things have to work together, and the best to have them work together naturally.
Right. Now, our soil around Bartlesville naturally is kind of high in pH, so that's probably why a lot of people's fescue do pretty well in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it doesn't do well primarily is because it's mowed too low.
Yeah, they like to really give it that barber cut for some reason. I don't know why.
And it wasn't as tall as your finger is wide. I said, this grass needs to be at least an inch and a half tall.
Yeah, you don't have a green out there for the golfers. You got a lawn that you're taking care of.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man.
Yeah, so you want to make sure to raise the mower up as time progresses, up to 3 inches tall in the summertime.
Yeah.
And when you do water your fescue grass, you want to water fairly infrequently and fairly heavily, almost to the point of runoff, and then stop watering, let it dry out a little bit, and then water it again if it needs to be watered.
Okay. So right now, you just have to, as far as the watering is concerned, don't get carried away.
For
goodness sakes, don't get carried
fescue
away.
Fescue is somewhat drought tolerant.
It
doesn't like wet feet, so you want to kind of let it dry out between waterings a little bit. And try to keep it mowed fairly high and keep that mower blade sharp, too, because if those blades are ripped rather than cut, it can cause some issues also with phytophthora.
Yeah, indeed. You know, cutting is you're injuring the plant, but, I mean, it can repair itself better with a clean cut than it can from a rip.
Keep the engine up to 3,200 RPMs and progress fairly slowly.
Yeah, don't torture it.
Keep the blade sharp. It should have some really nice grass.
Very good. What else we got going on here, Larry?
Oh, golly, tomatoes. It's time to think about your tomato plants.
They're big tomatoes.
You bet. Time to get that ground ready.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put some Epsom salts. I did put Epsom salts on my tomato patch last weekend and worked it in. And this weekend, I got to get some compost and get that worked in before the rain.
Yeah.
And then you should have some pretty good luck. Gypsum also is good for tomatoes. They like that calcium.
Mm-hmm.
And the sulfur, too, but the magnesium sulfate does a pretty good job to help keep the pH down a little bit. They like a 6.5 pH.
6.5?
Okay. Yep, ideally.
Ideally.
Do you have color?
No.
Oh, okay,
not yet, anyway.
So, also, it's time to for tomato seeds.
Seeds?
If you've got an heirloom variety you might like, or there's a kind of a tomato plant you really like, it's right now it's prime time to start your tomato seeds. So they can be started in cups or tin cans or anything in the house. It doesn't matter. And I like to start mine in the west window.
Yeah, you get a lot of sun.
Yeah, our dining room at our house faces west. And usually there's some aluminum foil on the windowsill and tin cans full of tomato plants. The tomato seeds will be up in 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
And keeping them warm is very important.
Yeah.
I also use a 2-liter bottle cut. And put on top, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I make a little mini greenhouse out of it.
Oh, okay, that's why.
And that keeps the moisture up and everything until they start to grow. Then you take it off after they sprout.
So you got to start with a very healthy start, and then it's a lot more tolerant once you get it outside. Yeah.
Now, once they get past seed stage, seed leaf, when they first come up, they have two little leaves on them.
Yeah,
those are seed leaves or cotyledons, actually. Mm-hmm. When they get past that stage and start putting on leaves, they're going to get in the house, they're going to get a little bit leggy. So you want to put your plants on a tray or something and move them outside in a protected area. I put mine on the patio,
okay.
And it's fairly protected.
Keep the rabbits and the squirrels away.
Exactly. They need to be exposed to a little bit of weather, to what we call harden off.
Okay.
Because you really can't, it's such a culture shock for the plants. You really can't go from being in the protected environment of the house to the environment outdoors.
So this is a three-stage operation.
Yeah. So we kind of follow the same procedure at the nursery when we grow our perennials, which we grow, golly, about 400 varieties of perennials. Mm-hmm. And we have to transition them. They're started off in the section where they're where the things come in from air freight. The little starts come in, and we put them in pots and go in one part of the greenhouse. Then they're shifted to another part of the greenhouse. Then they're shifted into an unheated greenhouse. And then they're shifted to cold frames. So when you get that product in your house, that perennial product at home, it's able to tolerate our environment, 30 mile an hour winds, 90 degrees one day, 35 the next day, you know, that kind of thing. Sunny and hot and dry and then all of a sudden wet. These plants are adapted to the climate. Kind of the same thing with the azaleas. They have to be able to tolerate the wild climate out there. And it can get rather wild here.
Well, right here in Kansahoma, you bet. I think I just invented a new name for our bi-state area. Kansahoma. I'm not sure. I want to take credit for it, but Kansahoma, yeah.
So the advantage of starting your tomato seeds yourself, you can get exactly the variety you want. And it's not that hard to do.
There you go. So tomatoes, the key to have those things nice and appealing toward the end of the growing season starts with a very, very careful start indoors. Yeah.
Now, one thing that's coming into bloom right now, actually, are the saucer magnolias.
Okay.
That's the tree of the week.
Tree of the week.
You go around, you look at these houses, you see this plant with, right now, they're putting on just a few. These rather large, pinky-colored blooms.
Oh, yeah, they're beautiful.
Those are saucer magnolias.
Okay.
Some people call them tulip trees.
Oh, yeah.
Now, tulip tree is a type of liriodendron, which is actually related to the magnolia also. But so we call them saucer magnolias rather than tulip trees. Mm-hmm. So if you come in and you say, well, I want a tulip tree, well, okay, we'll get you a liriodendron tulipifera.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the wrong thing.
Well, that's not what I had in mind. Well, you wanted was a saucer magnolia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, the saucer magnolia, they're beginning to bloom right now. There's basically two kinds. There's the typical pink-flowered saucer magnolia we're used to.
Yeah.
And then there's one called the star magnolia,
okay,
which I really like. It has white flowers on it.
That's what I'm used to.
And they have long kind of petals like that. Mm-hmm. And they're very easy to grow. And the star magnolia tends to be a smaller, more compact tree. Whereas a saucer magnolia can get to be a pretty good sized tree, about 20 by 20 feet. So you have to be very careful when you put these in the landscape because they can outgrow the space and turn into a nuisance.
Yeah.
So they don't really belong close to the house. Mm-hmm. However, the star magnolia, the one which I have in my house, growing in solid rock.
That's a durable plant there. That's a hardy son of a gun.
My sharp shovel doesn't last very long.
No, it doesn't.
But anyway, it's doing rather well, and it's only about 10 feet tall.
Yeah?
And it's been there 30 years.
Okay.
So they're pretty good plants to have, I think.
And now, you'll see these in the south quite a bit, especially in the southeast, the magnolia tree.
Yeah, the magnolia, the regular Magnolia solangiana, not solangiana. They're just a regular evergreen magnolia. Yeah. A lot of those are further south. I used to live in suburban Chicago.
Yeah.
We had saucer magnolias up there.
That works.
They're hardier than the other magnolias.
Good.
Cold, okay. More cold hardy. So they do rather well in a wide variety of conditions.
So right here in Kansahoma, it gets kind of erratic here, they can tolerate those.
So they give you a kind of a brief flowering show in the spring. So don't try to make it a mainstay for your spring color because the time frame is so brief. And when it's windy, it can really be kind of brief, too. All the flowers blow up to Kansahoma. So that's the saucer magnolia. It's a good tree. We've got some Janes at the nursery now. They're starting to put on some flowers, so they might go by and look at them.
We got a text coming in. Okay. It's from Janice. And Janice, thank you very much for contacting us. Janice wants to know, when do you put poinsettias in darkness, and for how long?
Okay, poinsettias?
Yeah.
They change color in response to the length of day.
Okay.
So the best way to do this is to get a pretty good sized cardboard box.
Okay.
And leave it in a warm area, and then at 5 o'clock at night, put the box over it, and then at 10 o'clock in the morning, take the box up. It's not, they don't need to be in a constant state of darkness for a period of time. They have to have a short day interval for them to begin to bloom.
Okay, so put a box over them at 5 o'clock at night, and lift the box at 10 o'clock in the morning so it can return to sunlight.
And that'll give you the length of time you need for them to initiate blooms.
And the fellow from Lucas Petal wants to know, will the time change affect that?
Yes, the time change will affect it. You'll want to move the box back an hour for it to work through. So that'll work. When we grow poinsettias, we just use the natural sunlight, and they go ahead and they do initiate blooms at the right time. Okay. Unless you have a light with a motion sensor on it in the house behind that interrupts that cycle, and then they don't change color. So so it's not, you don't put them in a closet. They'll stretch them out. They'll die out that way. You can move them in and out of a closet if you want to move it. Or another way is to put a just a box over the top, so they're in darkness for that period of time.
All righty.
And if you miss it once, forget it.
Oh,
that's a start again.
All righty. I do believe it's time for another break. I believe we're at our next to the last one here. So we're going to be right back after this 2-minute timeout.
Did you know that Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants? Newly arrived is their shipment of trees and shrubs. Get an edge on spring with herbs and perennials from Green Thumb. Sow your grass seeds now with fescue seed in stock and stop crabgrass in its tracks with pre-emergent at Green Thumb. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. New hours open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4, closed Sundays.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlee Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
When skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather conditions using color radar reports and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters and meteorologists on KOTV, the news on 6, dedicated to keeping you and your family safe, keep a battery-operated radio close at hand. And when severe weather hits our area, go to a safe place and tune into K1, 1400 and FM 93.3 for all the details. Severe weather coverage is brought to you by Tate Boys Tire, Bartlesville Collision Center, Paul's Record Service, Jericho Tile and Carpet, ConocoPhillips, United Rental, Phillips 66, Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance Service, Lucas Metalworks, Stump Funeral Home, and A-Best Roofing. Your safety is our top concern. Count on K1 for the area's most complete weather coverage.
Goodness sakes, we're back with the Green Country Gardener Program, and Larry was just telling me during the break about the birds and the bees, but actually just the bees, right?
Yeah, I was walking out the front door to get the mail on my way home one day, or after I was home, and I heard this zzzz in the tree, this buzz. What is going on up there? My maple tree's in bloom.
Ah!
Covered in bees. So they're really out there trying to get that hive going again, and they're in the maple trees right now, so... they're too busy to bother anybody, so...
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, when the day the bees go away, we're about six weeks behind.
Yeah.
So we got to kind of look out for our buzzy friends here.
Speaking of trees, it's time to fertilize those trees also.
Let's do that.
And I prefer to use a well-balanced fertilizer, unless the soil test indicates otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So not too heavy on the nitrogen. You don't want a lot of really rapid growth on the tree,
because
that makes it weak. Weak tree. You want it to grow at a moderate rate. So use a tree fertilizer per se, and one thing I like to use around the trees is Milorganite.
Milorganite?
It's not too heavy in nitrogen, got some trace elements in there too, and it makes for a healthy tree. So,
well, very good. You know, you got to make sure that you get everything going chemically, naturally. Chemically.
Yeah. You don't want to overdo the nitrogen.
No, you don't. Because bad things start to happen.
Yeah. Well, they grow too fast.
Yeah, they do.
And it makes them subjected to wind damage. It makes them more subjected to diseases and whatnot if they're forced to grow too quickly. So you want to use a moderate deal of discretion on that. Now, you might want to just get a type of fertilizer that says fertilize for trees.
So uh-huh.
It should pretty well take care of it.
What else we got going on there, Larry?
We got a lot of perennials that are coming due.
Right now. Yeah.
We got some dianthus
okay.
that have come up, real attractive right now. The Linton Rose are in full bloom right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of explains the season. Anyway, they're in full bloom right now. Really very showy. The newer varieties of the hellebores or the Linton Rose have blooms that actually go up. And they you can see them actually. And the old-fashioned ones, the flowers are typically hidden underneath the leaves.
Oh, okay.
But the newer ones, through breeding, they've been able to get them to where the blooms kind of make more of a presence.
Okay.
So that and many other perennials, creeping phlox is coming ready and all that other stuff. So spring is on its way.
All right. Well, right now we're going to spring into one of our sponsors here at the Interstate Farm and Home Show. And from Roman's Outdoor Power, who do we have? What's your name, sir?
Nate with Roman's Outdoor Power.
How you doing, Nate? How you like the show so far?
Doing good.
You been out here all the time? Or?
Yeah, worked it all day yesterday and then going to do the full time today.
Oh, this is a beautiful setup here, and I hope we're bringing enough folks for you to talk to.
Yeah, it seems to be already getting a little packed, so I think we're going to have it's a beautiful day. I think there'll be a lot of people coming in.
Oh, yeah. So what are you showing off today in particular?
So Roman's Outdoor Power, we're a Kubota dealership, along with some lawnmower lines. So we've got a full range of nice and pretty orange Kubotas, tractors, lawnmowers, skid steers, side-by-sides. And then we also carry the Bad Boy line, so we have some of those lawnmowers here and some Cub Cadets.
Well, now, did I see some of your product out there in the front right before we came in?
Yeah, we're front and center. We got a pretty big display. It's hard to miss us. So we got some awesome deals going on. We got some stuff that we're ready to move. Hopefully some folks need something and come out and see us.
And I got to ask you, after the show's over, where can they come visit you? Where's the home? Where's the ranch?
So we have a few locations. The two closest to our listening area is Bartlesville there on the north side of town.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, there's a lot of orange out there. It's a beautiful facility. And then a similar-looking facility up in Independence, Kansas, right in front of Walmart. We've got just as much orange up there.
Oh, man, I tell you what, two beautiful towns and, of course, two great locations and everything else. And just about anything you want, the Kubota products are very, very durable. Not only they great to look at, but, my golly, they run forever.
Yes, definitely. We sell a bunch of them, and we have a lot of repeat customers. Every once in a while we get some used stuff in, but it's a great product for us.
All right, I want to thank you very much for stopping by and visiting with us. And I want folks to drop by the booth here and also take a look outside when you come in and you see that big bright orange. You're going to say, oh, my, take my money.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. But we're here at the Interstate Farm and Home Show, and it's in Coffeyville, Kansas, right here at Coffeyville Community College, Nellis Hall. Thank you very much for coming by.
Guys.
All right, appreciate it. Now, Larry, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back after this two-minute timeout.
Sounds great.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elite such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Willow Rock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Willow Rock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
All righty. Yeah. 854. We're back with the Green Country Gardener Show, live from the Interstate Farm and Home Show in Coffeyville, Kansas. Nellis Hall, two big showrooms. These are big exhibit halls, and plus all you can find outside. And Larry is with us here with the Green Country Gardener Program. Where are we here on our schedule of list of events here? Because I lost track.
Oh, we were talking about the saucer magnolia.
Yeah, that's right.
And other things from the past. One perennial that's going to become very popular real soon is the peony.
Okay.
Peonies come up. They're very rugged plants. Kind of an old-fashioned favorite.
They are.
And rather large blooms. And they're very good weather predictors, too. Every time they bloom, we have a terrific storm. So,
what do you know?
So, anyway, peonies are they're really
well, they
good
say plant. Money talks. Oh, these are peonies, not pennies. Okay, here we go.
They don't have bulbs, but they have what we call rhizomes. And there are both herbaceous and shrubby species.
Okay.
The herbaceous species typically dies all the way to the ground, which are, at this point, right now, they got little red buds at or slightly above the ground. They're a little bit late this year.
Okay.
But they're starting to come up, and we have the red buds coming up. Now, they're very delicate at this time of the year. When you're doing your bed cleaning, you want to be very careful not to break those off, because you'll have a diminished blossom show because half of it's missing. So if you did prune them, a lot of people prune them in the fall and left some stalks up, you can see where they are.
Right.
Just be very careful around them at this point because they're easy to break.
All right.
They're coming up. They're the best known, the Lactiflora, which is the Chinese peony, is the best known variety. And a lot of breeding has been done by the Chinese over the years. And we've developed double flowered cultivars that most of us all come to know as a species plant.
Okay.
At my house, I have a single flowered red one, which is really, really nice. And it doesn't fall apart.
It doesn't.
No, it's not all that weight.
Okay.
Some people think you have to have ants for the peonies to open. It's kind of a wives' tale, really.
Okay.
When they do open, a lot of honeydew.
Okay.
Or the sweet stuff that flowers make.
Okay.
They will come to the surface, and the ants like that.
Because it's sweet.
Over the years, we've associated that with the necessity of ants to be there to open up the blooms.
No, the ants are just there for a free meal.
Exactly. You don't have to have ants for them to bloom. And every time you bring a peony in the house, ants always come in with it. So it's just a given that you're going to have ants on your peony plant. So don't worry about it. So... So anyway, they bloom. The most varieties flower for about a week in late spring to early summer.
Mm-hmm.
But you can extend the bloom period by getting
varieties that bloom at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Some that bloom early, mid-season, and late. You can have more of a show and kind of mix them together so you can have more of a peony show for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
They're extraordinarily easy to grow, peonies are. And actually, some of the better ones do better if they're grown under almost total neglect.
Oh, really? Yeah, humans, you're messing with me here.
Anyway, in planting them, you want to choose a sunny place in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You dig a hole about 2 feet wide, typically big enough for one plant,
mm-hmm.
with a spading fork or something. You dig a good-sized hole and add at least a gallon or so of compost, mm-hmm. to help it transition to the soil. And organic fertilizer helps them get started, such as milorganite or something like that. And the red eyes on the bulbs, if you do buy new bulbs, should be pointing upwards. Mm-hmm. Or if you divide your peonies, which should have been done in the fall, but anyway, they should be growing upwards. You want to plant your roots up to 2 feet apart, and you're going to give them a mulch around about 3 inches of mulch. Water them well initially to give them a good start. And once they're established, they're very, very easy to grow, very tolerant plants. I like to plant them, say, off in the distance somewhere. I don't like to make them a mainstay in the landscape,
mm-hmm.
just because for 360 days out of the year, they're not very attractive.
Oh, gosh.
So peonies, it's an old-fashioned favorite, and actually they're gaining a little popularity. And we do have a Japanese variety of peony.
Okay.
It comes up and has this big, beautiful yellow flower.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants cost $100 a piece.
Oh, my.
Yeah. but they're absolutely gorgeous. And when they do bloom, and it's very rare to get a yellow.
What's going on at the shop?
Going on at the shop, golly. We've got new perennials, new shrubs coming in all the time. We got a great load of mulch that just came in.
Really Thank fine you very
textures,
much.
Really nice stuff. And
mm-hmm.
And always when you plant your plant some things, make sure to keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All righty, that's it for today. Take care, folks.
Don't wait for a rumble. Get earthquake insurance at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227-CQ Bartlesville.
Coronavirus deaths outside the West Coast, one in the Panhandle, the other in the Fort Myers area. Both victims said to be in their 70s, both recent overseas travelers. In California, state and federal officials are working on plans to allow a blocked cruise ship to dock and get everybody tested. Some aboard do have the infection, reports Vice President Mike Pence.
46 persons were swabbed, 21 of those on the ship tested positive for the coronavirus.
And Austin, Texas is canceling its popular South by Southwest Festival. Tom Foti, CBS News.
CBS News.